Your guests await us, he said. Blinking out of my thoughts, I walked with him down the stairs, out of the temple, and through a maze of sidewalks. Before we reached the outdoor party, the sound of a harp and low beat of drums reached us. Laughter and the scent of food soon followed. The soiree was teeming with close to 100 people, with a small orchestra in one corner, servants with trays of food and wine circulating among guests, and an area of tables. At the center was a fountain, and torches lit the perimeter. No one looked twice at us when we entered, for which I was grateful. I was feeling more self-conscious in the clothing, more afraid of making a mistake. I don't belong here. Women were drenched in glittering jewels and designer gowns. A servant with a tray approached and held it out. Cleon took the masks and handed one to me. I thought you might be more comfortable with a semi-anonymous event, he said. Busy ogling the biggest diamond I'd ever seen, I hadn't noticed everyone down to the servants were wearing masks over the top halves of their faces. At Cleon's words, I started to relax. He was really, really good at keeping me chill. Leandra plucked it out of my hand and carefully pinned it in place with hairpins. She wore one already. This is awesome, I said, gazing around at the masked strangers. No one will notice if I eat all the snacks. Cleon chuckled. You are welcome to. It's your party. That seemed too weird to be true. But I was thrilled by the idea of interacting with the highest levels of society, and no one knowing it was me. Who are all these people? I asked. The most affluent men and women in the world. Favored by the gods. The elite. Those whose fortunes and fates rest with those of the gods. They are probably excited to see me. They are. You are the promise of continued good fortune and wealth for them. I didn't really like the idea of an elite when the rest of the world was in chaos because of the holy wars. I started into the crowd, absolutely entranced by the amount of bling the women wore. Did they dress like this every night and go to soirees? I bet none of them have ever skinned a rabbit for dinner. I swallowed a giggle at the ridiculous thought, torn between admiring the people around me and critical of the idea they couldn't survive in the arena or forest if the world ended tomorrow. Checking out the fountain, I stopped to perch for a moment and watch the world. I couldn't tell Cleon from the other men or Leandra from the other women. For some reason, being anonymous helped me relax more. I was somewhat free, if only temporarily, from being the person they thought I was. Beautiful smile, beautiful lady. The man's voice was the opposite of Cleon's carefully controlled one. I turned and eyed the masked stranger, with two hotter-than-hot women hanging off him. He was grinning, and his hair dark. I saw a gleam of green eyes through the mask, and a star was printed in the middle of his forehead. Right, I said and rolled my eyes. I started away. He laughed. I stopped. I'd heard that laugh somewhere. Not recently. Not in the memories I'd always had. It was trapped somewhere in the new memories that hadn't yet completely emerged. Go on, ladies. Let me talk to our friend, he said, and shooed the girls away. I stared after them. Leandra would give them a run for their money, but I never would. The man pushed up his mask to reveal striking green eyes. His jaw was heavy and square, his brow low, and his face wide. He had a widow's peak and long hair held in place at the nape of his neck. Lantos, he held out a hand. I shook it. Have we met before? I asked. The same strange sense I got around Adonis was present once again. Possibly, he winked. I've spoken to many women before this night. No surprise there. He was Hollywood handsome, with sparkling eyes and a quick smile. He held my hand after our shake. You are, he waited. I pulled my hand away. I knew Adonis because I had brought him to life and we'd met when I was a child. I knew this man because... The memory was completely blank. If I hadn't been through the strangest week of my life, I'd be blushing that someone who looked like this had sent away 2 models to talk to me. Instead, I was suspicious. Lissa, I said finally. Ah, the reason we're all here, he said, and spread an arm out towards the crowd. It's my honor and pleasure. He rested a hand over his heart and bowed his head in yet another show. I saw you take out the typhoon. You won me a small fortune. I had help, I replied. Yes, I saw. A flicker of something. Irritation? Crossed his eyes before vanishing. Care to walk with me? Not really, I said. He laughed and moved closer. If I sweeten the deal, will you give me a couple minutes of your time? Sweeten? What are you talking about? Some of the flashiness faded, and I saw a genuine smile on his features. Sweet girl, I'll take the device out of your arm placed by the magistrate that's caging your powers. If you'll speak with me in private. I felt the soft skin of my forearm steadying him. I'm armed. He laughed again and stepped away, lowering his mask. I'll keep my hands to myself. Promise. Come. I stared after him, dazzled by this charisma, yet aware he hadn't accidentally stumbled upon me like he tried to play off. I trailed him through the crowd. He led me past the orchestra and down a cobblestone path leading into the garden. Other couples posed in embraces, some talking, the others quiet, throughout the fragrant garden. When we reached a small fountain out of earshot from the others, Lantos turned. First, I always keep my promises. Your arm. He held out a wide, strong hand. I placed my arm in it. Rather than pull out a tool of some sort, he rested his other warm palm on top of the area where Nico had shot the solution into me. While far from intimate, heat rose to my cheeks. His touch stirred my blood. I was grateful for the lack of lighting in this part of the gardens. What are you doing? I asked after a long quiet. Removing it. I gazed up at him and waited for more. Seconds later, he lifted his hand. A stream of red liquid ran from his palm to my forearm. He wrapped it around 2 fingers. It solidified into a cord resembling those I'd grown up around. The last of the string left my arm, and the world erupted into ribbons. I gasped, a little overwhelmed by the sudden reemergence of color. Lantos's hand went to my hip as he steadied me. How did you do that? I demanded and swatted at ribbons floating between us. Easy. This is mine to command. He held up the cord, then tossed it into the air. It disappeared. Who do you think gave it to the priest to protect you? Tearing off my mask, I stared at him. He removed his mask as well, eyes sparkling with humor I didn't share. You're not a Titan, I stammered. Alas, no. My father is. I'm the son of a Titan and a human. I'm stranded here with my mother's kind. My father, Lelantos, is your benefactor. I am his humble servant. If he hadn't done what he just did, I'd walk away. He touched his forefinger to his lips. But that's a secret. His eyes glowed with amusement. You can keep a secret, I believe. I nodded, speechless. Then I'd like to show you one more thing. He drew too close once again, entering my personal space. He was wide and athletic, and his body heat made a chill run through me. I craned my head back to see his face. But I need you to promise you won't reveal what I show you. Even when attempting to be serious, light and laughter glowed in his gaze. I didn't think I could turn down such a request, if I wanted to. not with his light cologne and presence so near me. It was easy to believe he was the son of a titan. Like Adonis, he had 5 ribbons and an air of something not quite normal. I nodded. He slid his arm through mine. We move through shadows. I had no idea what that meant. We walked through the garden to a small building sandwiched between the Congress and another official government building. At first, I thought we were headed to a tool shed and started to worry, until I saw the guards. Heracles had taught me that guards didn't stand in front of a place or person of no importance. I slowed as we approached, but Lantos urged me on, upbeat and unconcerned that we were about to run into 2 heavily armed men. But we didn't. We walked right past them. Neither so much as flinched as we strolled into the building, past another one, through a metal detector, and down a hallway. He led me to an elevator and we stepped in. Simple, Lantos said, right? Puzzled, I met his gaze again. He was smiling. How is that possible? My father is the Titan of the Unseen. I inherited some of his skills, like the ability to move as a shadow, to hide what's in plain sight from being seen. That's amazing. Not as amazing as your skill. I can't figure out how to use it. He smiled and motioned me out of the elevator. The first thing I noticed in the dark room, the scent. I breathed it in and felt like I was melting again like I had in the shower. Amber incense, tinged with exotic smells I couldn't quite name, ignited a fever inside me and made me nearly giddy. I stepped deeper into the room, wanting to experience more of the scent. The fumes are like catnip for an oracle, Lantos said, amused. What is it? You know the origins of your kind, how the Oracle of Delphi used to sit over a cavern, one whose fumes helped put her in a trance? Yes, they said she. I breathed in and felt like floating away. Could use it to help her communicate with gods. I had never felt so good. Exactly. They moved those caverns here. What they learned after some time was that the bridge that let her speak to the gods could be enlarged into a portal that let them walk across it into our world. But the portal must remain open, or the gods cannot access the magic whose source is on their world. I didn't care. I wanted to lose myself in the smell. It was warm and comfortable, as if I was being hugged all over. Oh my gods, I want to live here. I all but sang and began to twirl. Ribbons encircled and swirled around me, and I laughed. Be careful what you wish for, Lantos warned with a low chuckle. He caught me and wrapped an arm around me to steady my body. Pressed to him, I grinned, enjoying the sensation of his strong form and the giddiness of the aroma. Can you feel it? I asked. Not like you do. He grinned down at me. Do you like it?
I love it.
Good. Now I must show you something you will definitely not love. Lantos scooped me up in his arms and walked with me across the room to a railing overlooking an empty space. He set me down. I gripped the railing to keep from dancing off into oblivion and waited eagerly, praying it was something as amazing as the Oracle catnip. Lights flipped on into the empty space, and I froze. Let the catnip calm you, he said quietly. This time his humor was missing. He leaned into me, keeping me in place against the railing, his hands on either side of mine. I'd like to introduce you to the current oracle, Cecilia. I couldn't breathe for a moment. No, this can't be real. Chapter 17. There will be killing till the score is paid. Homer. The body, if it could be called that, before me, was straight out of a horror movie. A naked woman was suspended in what looked like an oversized petri dish, with wires and tubes running out of her. Each limb had been severed and connected by a tube to the rest of her body, and her head the same. She was in pieces, yet alive, glowing with the green ribbons I had witnessed over little Mi's head. She was awake, her eyes the only sign she was still alive as she occasionally blinked. To keep her alive, they use computers and drugs. She must be kept on the verge of horrific pain, for that is when the mind is sharpest. Her body is torn apart over the course of 30 years, and she remains in the level of pain one experiences when having limbs torn off. Drugs keep her immobilized and her body functioning. Meanwhile, her magic is used by gods and men to do whatever they wish. The gods simply need the portal behind her open at all times. Men, it's never that easy with men. Behind her were the glowing edges of a portal. I blinked, wanting to believe I'd been thrust into a dream, that this tortured woman wasn't the fate everyone wanted me to accept. The oracle's eyes were on me, and I tried to back away, to run, to return to the surface where I wasn't struggling to control the effects of the drugged air. "Stay, Oracle." Lantos took my wrists and pinned each to my chest, his strong arms defying resistance. "You need to see this. You need to understand." "Understand what?" I gasped, unable to look away from the woman before me. "That you cannot follow in my steps," came a soft, strained female voice. Cecilia is different. Stronger. She was never displaced from her own mind, so to speak. She wrested a piece of her mind and power from the machines the day they did this to her, gathered her strength over the course of 30 years, despite the anguish of her existence, and 5 years ago, began to act. She started to level the playing field between men and gods. The portal to the gods is open, but they cannot move through it. It's made them desperate. It's the source of their fighting. In case they're trapped here permanently, each wants his or her own kingdom to rule over. Ostensibly, my job is to help them, at least until it's my turn to act. That I could end up here, torn apart slowly, in agony? I was almost panting and on the verge of panicking. "Talk to her. She is you, Alessandra. She is your destiny, if you trust Cleon." Lantos released my hands, but maintained one arm around my body, as if he could feel my insides quaking and my knees about to give. I placed a hand on the cool glass separating the oracle from me. Who did this to her?" I asked hoarsely. Tears pricked my eyes. "It is the way it has been for millennia," came the airy voice once more. "There is not one person to blame, but a tradition accepted is necessary." "I don't want this." My throat was too tight to finish. "The old ways, the time before the gods became the puppet masters of mankind."
I listened.
"I have been dying for 2 years. I am nearly too weak to hold the portals open, no matter what they do to me. You must leave this place until I am dead. Avoid capture. Trust carefully. Act faithfully. Our power comes from this world. Once the gods are cut off, you can execute them, one by one." A trace of fury was in her thin voice. Her eyes closed, and I sensed more than saw that she was weakened by the speech. I trembled in place. How could anyone do this to someone else? How could anyone think of doing this to me? I no longer questioned why Heracles drilled me so relentlessly. He wanted me to have a chance to avoid this. He wanted me to survive. He knows this is my fate. The second secret he kept from me was as damning as the first, and I began to crumble. My emotions were spinning out of control once again, egged on by the amber scent wresting control of myself from me. "Oh, gods," I whispered. "Monsters? My forest? Betrayal? Nothing compared to this moment, when I was finally able to see my fate, when the secret no one wanted to tell me revealed itself at last." "We have to save her. We have to get her out of there." I was vaguely aware of the hysteria in my voice, vaguely aware of struggling against Lantos and him trying to speak to me. "Let me go!" But he didn't. And I began to cry, overwhelmed. I collapsed against the stranger who dared show me my fate. His arms went around me, and he hugged me to him tightly. Aside from Adonis, I'd never been touched like this by a man. But I liked it. I liked his strong frame, his masculine scent, and the sense he could support me. It was hard for me to cry for long with the catnip pushing me higher. I began to lose some sense of reality, to slide into a state of heightened dreaming, in a calmed, clutching Lantos's suit jacket. For all I knew, he was going to be the one to strap me down and flip on the computers that would tear me apart. A man with magic like his had to be powerful. I was no closer to knowing who to trust or what to do than I was when I left the forest with Nico. "We must go before you are missed," Lantos said quietly. "Do you understand that this is what Cleon wants? What all the people attending your little party really want for you?" I couldn't answer. I eased away from him without looking up, embarrassed to cry in front of someone else. "Do you?" he repeated, gaze intent. "Yes." And I did. Cleon had admitted this much already, only I hadn't known exactly what it meant to follow the path he wanted. "What do you want?" "Later." He winked. Stabilizing me, he kept one arm around me as we walked to the elevator. Moments later, we emerged into the cool night. The oracle catnip wore off quickly, leaving me with nothing to dull the horror of what I'd seen. We started back through the garden to the soiree. I paused when we reached the fountain and tugged free of him. "I can't go back there," I said, eyes on the happy people at the soiree. "You need to play your part, pretty girl." He tipped my chin up. "Do all of them know about her?" I asked. "Every one of them. They are counting on you assuming your place, so things can return back to the way they were before Cecilia began to fight back." "And you?" "I'm the son of a Titan. There's no love between the Olympic gods and Titans. I want to see Cecilia succeed in disrupting the order of things forever. I want the gods dead, or at least expelled from here, and to restore my place with my father and the rest of the Titans." "It can't be that simple," I retorted. "Everyone I know has another side to who they are." "You're learning how deep and murky the political waters are." He rested a hand on my arm. "Come on, I'll walk you back." I shook him off. "Why in the name of everything holy do you think I'm going back there?" I demanded. "Because if you let them know you know, they'll strike with force and speed even I can't counter. They'll have you pinned down to that wall the way Cecilia is before you can blink." He moved closer, voice lowered for my ears only. "Right now, the elite are celebrating having found you. They will let you enjoy what they believe to be the last few days of your life in peace, if you play along." My heart was racing. What he said made too much sense. "Come with me," he said, and offered the mask. "Play the game." "I hate games." I gazed into his sparkling eyes. After a moment, I snatched the mask and slid it into place to cover eyes red from crying. Lantos took my hand with a wink and began walking back towards the soiree with me. He replaced his mask as we walked. Every step was like being on a death march. I wanted to cry again, to break out my knife and ram it through the hearts of every person present who wanted me tortured and held for the rest of my life in misery, so they could retain their fortunes. On the verge of hyperventilating, I allowed him to pull me towards the party and struggled to regain some sort of balance between my reason and emotions.
Lantos,
I recognized Cleon's voice. My apologies, Alessandra. He's known to be improper with women, despite the title. Title? I managed to speak without screaming. Supreme Priest. Wrenching my hand free from Lantos, I glared up at him. I was tired of surprises, of the two-faced bastards weaving in and out of my life. Lantos was grinning again, and I couldn't even begin to fathom how he was the son of a titan, a sworn enemy of the gods, in the highest level priestly position in the government. But it fit him. He laughed at all the world and the fools who appointed him the representative of the gods. He was perfect for the role, the ultimate double agent. He hadn't shown me the oracle out of a sense of compassion, but to make me distrust Cleon. "You're the one who sent us to the arena," I exclaimed.
"I have a bit of a temper," he admitted. "I place my one chance to task you in the hands of the man I trust more than myself. And he failed me."
He shrugged.
"But you survived."
He offered another smile. "No hard feelings."
"No hard."
I started to repeat in astonishment before stopping myself. Cleon was watching us closely.
"I need a rest."
"Your time at the arena must have been draining," Lantos said.
"Yes."
"I would be happy to escort you home," Cleon said.
"Thank you."
The words sounded forced even to my ears. My mind was too busy for me to attempt small talk. I wanted to scream, and it was hard to prevent myself from racing ahead. Trailed by the entourage, Cleon was quiet, and he stopped at the doorstep of my villa.
"I took the liberty of booking an appointment for you tomorrow afternoon."
I was about to tell him to go to Hades and take all his rich friends and Nico with him when he continued. "The Silent Queen is eager to meet you." Since seeing her on the television during her first appearance, I'd been intrigued by her. I was afraid to learn what she wanted with me, but I was also interested in seeing her in the flesh.
"Thank you," I said once again. I stepped into the villa and closed the door behind Leandra.
Ripping off the mask, I flung it and the sandals and sprinted to my room. No longer able to bear being calm and still when I wanted nothing more than to explode. I closed my door behind me and wiped my tears, crossing to the open doors of the balcony. Moonlight spilled into my own private garden and lined the flowers with silver. All this was mine, until the day they decided to tear me limb from limb. I shook with emotion and exhaustion.
"Lantos sends his apologies for upsetting you."
"Don't." I spun to face the silent predator landing lightly on my balcony. "Don't make excuses for that piece of shit. He knew exactly what he was doing." It was impossible for me to see mismatch for the first time and not be awed and just a little terrified. He folded his wings and tilted his head, his muscular frame poised.
"Tell your master you aren't welcome here," I breathed at last.
"I help you fight monsters, and you turn your back on me. You are such a sweet child."
"You ditched me and left me with Nico."
"I fought with you and left you with someone I knew wouldn't hurt you. I couldn't take you with me without my men."
"Your boss." My chin trembled. I clamped my jaw closed and wiped more tears away. "I hate this place. I hate them."
"Deception is not your game."
"It's not."
I'm so sick of people and their secret agendas. The duality of mismatch, the creature I worshipped as a child and the man I couldn't trust, always confused me. He stretched out a wing and nudged me with it. I pushed it back, but followed it with my gaze, once more entranced by the softness of its lining. I was about to tell him to stop messing with me, when I realized his nature was to provoke me.
Lantos showed you the oracle.
I hesitated, then nodded. Tears of fury and fear were in my eyes again. Mismatch nudged me once more. This time, instead of pushing his wing away, I buried my hands into the soft lining. He stepped closer.
Why couldn't you tell me that up front? I demanded, looking up at his glowing eyes.
It wasn't my place.
It damn well was your place. You're my creation, aren't you? Isn't there some sense of loyalty there?
My master bid me to let him reveal it to you.
His wing wrapped around me and rolled me into the protection of his body the way it had last night. Surrounded by the heavenly softness and his scent, I didn't resist for once. I was too tired, too angry, and too cognizant of how much I loved and trusted Mismatch as a child. Those emotions were unusually strong, as if part of me was capable of separating what I felt for him during daylight from what I did at night.
At least you know I'm a monster.
His touch and presence soothed me. I didn't want it to. I wanted to stay angry. I rested my head back against his chest, thoroughly exhausted. His arms circled me, and I pulled up one hand by the thumb. My gods, Mismatch. You gotta trim those nails.
Can't kill with them short.
You shouldn't be killing at all.
I hunt my food at night.
That's really weird. I relaxed into him and gazed at the gardens. What does a gargoyle eat?
Grotesque. Usually something the size of a full-grown sheep or deer.
The whole thing?
Flying requires a lot of energy.
His wing unwound and fell away, tucked at his side again, leaving me pressed against his body. I felt a tingle when Lantos flirted with me. When Mismatch or Adonis touched me, my insides ignited. At least when he was a monster, I could pretend there was nothing between us. I don't know what to do, I said before I could stop myself.
Sleep. Your fate isn't yet set. You must complete 2 more trials before you are of use to any member of the Triumvirate.
I can't sleep knowing I might be dragged out of here and chopped into pieces.
I'll stand watch.
You have to go kill a cow.
I already ate.
His tail was tapping the glass of the French doors. I sighed and stood with him at my back. I shouldn't have trusted him more than I did anyone else. But I did. At least, at night I did. During the day, Adonis couldn't be far enough away. I want to go back to my forest, the one you chopped down. He said nothing. Recalling how he destroyed my home, I moved away. I'm going to bed. I closed the doors behind me, leaving him on the balcony. A nightgown was laying out for me in the dressing room part of the bathroom. I changed and tidied up for bed, fatigue driving me to skip brushing my hair in favor of arriving to my bed a minute earlier. Sinking into the massive bed, I stared out the window. Mismatch was perched on the balcony railing, wings tucked and muscular thighs drawing my gaze. His teal eyes were on the world outside of us. As much as I hated to admit it, I liked the creature side of Adonis. A lot. Enough to want to curl up in his soft wings again and fall asleep. And I knew if he were here, no one could drag me away to torture me. I was safe with my monster watching over me. I fell asleep
facing the balcony.
Chapter 18. I slept in late and ate a huge breakfast before getting ready for the afternoon event. No one wore masks the next afternoon when I arrived at the garden party at the Silent Queen's Court. The crowd was smaller, and the servants and guards in purple. Leandra had picked my lavender gown and done my hair and makeup again. She trailed me closely, and I could feel her excitement at being in a place more suited to her than me. The bushes of the gardens were shaped into fantastical animals from Greek myths. Smartly dressed men and women holding champagne glasses spoke quietly in small groups around several of the bushes. Serving staff, armed with trays of food and drink, wove among the partygoers. I couldn't look at anyone without thinking they wanted me torn to pieces and strung up. I ended up focusing on the rainbows of ribbons everywhere. The ribbons calmed me, fascinated me. "Is that all these people do?" I complained to Leandra. "Go to parties and drink?"
"Yeah," she sighed wistfully. "And wear amazing clothes."
I was in another traditional dress and wearing shoes that, according to Leandra, didn't remotely match. But after my night, I wasn't going near anything with a heel. I also had the knife Cleon procured for me strapped to my thigh.
"Ugh, we don't want anything to do with those two," Leandra said and nudged me the opposite direction in which she looked.
"Who?" I leaned around her to see. My heart leapt. Adonis was in a fitted charcoal business suit, and the Supreme Priest in a suit and mask.
"Why does he wear a mask?" I asked.
"One of the priests thought it was out of respect for the position. He appears as neither human nor god, so as to bridge the two.
Or he's hiding the fact he's a Titan."
"Those two are shady." "All the more reason to avoid them." This time, Leandra pushed me. I went. Thoughts on Adonis.
"Alessandra."
I turned at Theodosia's voice. She wore the robes of a priestess this day. If I had to guess, she was probably also packing some sort of weapons. She smiled at me.
"You have time for a chat?" she asked.
"Sure," I replied.
"Come with me. You've got a private audience with the Silent Queen."
Leandra's gasp was audible, and Theodosia glanced at her.
"You come too, in case your mistress requires you."
The giddy excitement inside me seemed out of place, and I blamed Leandra for infecting me with curiosity. Theodosia led us into the villa and into a parlor where the Silent Queen waited. She was smaller than she looked on television, and far more stunning in person, with large blue eyes, chiseled features rivaled only by Adonis, and white blonde hair pulled back from a round face and sharp jaw. She wore a tiara dotted by the same color aquamarine gems as her gown.
"Ask her if she would like a glass of champagne."
The voice was strong and feminine. Theodosia nodded and turned to me. "No thanks," I said before she could speak. The Silent Queen's eyes fell to me.
"You can hear me?"
Yeah. I glanced at Theodosia, who appeared surprised as well. "Is that okay?" The two exchanged a look. The Silent Queen lifted her chin in silent command.
"Leandra, would you come with me?"
Theodosia spoke. Leandra nearly tripped over her feet as she left, her gaze on the Silent Queen. I shifted feet when they'd gone, not at all certain how I was supposed to act around someone like this. When the Silent Queen continued to study me, I finally stepped forward with my hand extended. "I'm Alessandra," I said awkwardly. "Which you probably know, because everyone does."
"Phoebe."
She shook my hand.
"Please, sit with me."
She perched on a couch with more grace and dignity than I'd ever done anything. I tried to follow her lead, saw my ugly shoes, and then quickly tucked my feet back into the layers of my gown. Phoebe raised an elegant eyebrow. My shoes don't match. My cheeks were warm. So I'm learning people aren't who they claim or appear to be. You have any sort of ambitions of chopping off my limbs or throwing me into an arena to face monsters? It'd be nice to have a heads up for once.
I learned long ago to trust no one.
I started to smile. She was impossible to read. Her expression pleasant, but without emotion. Her rigid composure unflappable. Around my age, her eyes were soulful, as if she'd already suffered through what I was just learning. I sensed more about her, though. A sort of hyper-awareness I got when I was around Adonis. They both saw more than anyone should. Oddly enough, the sense put me at ease. I am, I said, and began to babble the way I did around Adonis when he was watching me. I guess I thought the world would be too. Do they make you wear dresses every day, or do you choose to?
I like them.
I guess no one tells a queen what to do.
You'd be surprised. When you are defined by your position rather than your personality, you are subjected to the expectations of others.
I can see that. I started to relax more, liking her. I hope they don't want to torture you.
We all bear a curse of some kind.
She glanced towards the door.
But I do not wish you to succumb to the fate for which you're destined. I would see you free to live your life.
You are at odds with the others.
No two of us in the Triumvirate are playing for the same reward.
Games, I snorted. The Supreme Magistrate wants me to become the Oracle. I don't know what the Supreme Priest wants. I did, but I wasn't about to reveal aloud he wanted to kill off all the gods to gain favor with the Titans.
Power.
Adonis had claimed the same about everyone involved in this game. And you? What do you want from me? I asked in an even voice. What trial would you have me perform?
There are two things I wish of you. The first, to disrupt the gods and politicians. To put an end to the world as we know it, to create it anew.
Is that it? I laughed uncomfortably. Just hit the reset button.
You disagree?
No, I want... I was raised to believe in the old ways. And to think I'm the one who's supposed to change all this? I motioned to the empty room.
They trained you well.
For the first time since meeting her, a flicker of emotion, satisfaction, went through the silent queen's eyes. You know who trained me?
I suspected, after Dossier met you for the first time. One of my fellow Triumvirate members found you and hid you away.
Sort of. I mean, I don't know for sure. Cleon had known where I was, and Lantos had created the cords that allowed the priests to hide me. I think everyone knew pieces of information, but not the full picture, or I would have been hauled out of my forest long ago.
I was too young to have had a hand in hiding you. My deception began when I saw the gods begin to tear apart the human world 5 years ago.
She rose as she spoke and crossed to a delicate china box on the mantel over a quiet fireplace.
Dossier and I looked around at what our options were and made a choice.
She pulled a piece of cloth out of the box and returned, handing it to me. I unfolded it.
Mama's mark.
I saw it driving into D.C. with Nico when... I looked up at her.
You.
The idea would make even her laugh if I was wrong. Created Mama?
Insurgency. My security detail is small. I needed an army to start to wear down the other two.
A mercenary army can't really be trusted, though, can it?
Some are mercenary. Most are people from around the world who have lost loved ones to the holy wars that began 5 years ago. They want revenge. The criminal underworld offers us a place to fund and hide such an army, as well as create dissension.
It sounded absolutely dangerous to trust an army of people either paid to be there or present for revenge. The more I learned about the political maneuvering of the triumvirate, the more amazed I became that they'd lasted as long as they had.
Wow. So the other two can't know.
They suspect, just as I suspect the priest has other plans for you. Cleon wishes only to keep the elite happy. But I've learned he's devised an alternate method of doing so involving you. What exactly that is, I do not yet know.
The reminder they were all after me sent a streak of cold fear through me.
It doesn't seem real.
So you want to overthrow the system with a mercenary army and bring back the old ways?
I want to sever the gods from their world and force them to suffer as the bloodline has.
Anger was in her voice. Suffer?
Another time, we will discuss the second favor I ask of you. What you need to know is you have a part in my revolution, and your trial involves my plan.
Destroying the gods?
No, I want them to live stranded here with their curses, placed in gilded cages and paraded around for the people to see. The current oracle prevents them from moving between worlds, and your presence will discourage them from acting against us directly. Your trial is to kill the current oracle. After you succeed, then you and I will lead the rebellion against the human elite for the sake of the rest of our kind who live in oppression.
If these people were remotely serious, I had a lot to do. Kill the gods, the oracle, rebel against the humans, and end up crucified. How does anyone think I can do anything of the sort? I asked in frustration. I can't use my magic yet.
Then learn. I cannot keep you too long, or the other two will become suspicious. Send messages through Leandra.
Theodosia entered, and the silent queen rose. Tucking the cloth into the drawstring purse Leandra chose for me today, I stood as well.
It was an honor to meet you.
The silent queen dipped her head with characteristic elegance.
Thanks.
I didn't know what to do, so smiled and stepped away. Theodosia led me to Leandra, who waited at the doorway leading into the gardens. Leandra appeared excited still, but I was finding it hard to sort through the politics of being an oracle. Of everything I'd learned, though, the thought of putting an end to Cecilia hit me hard. It had never occurred to me that I might be able to rid her of the pain once and for all. And killing her was so personal. The last woman to bear the title of oracle. She deserved so much more, and I knew she'd never get it in this life. Her body was destroyed, and soon, her mind would be as well. The only thing anyone could give her was peace. I'd killed monsters. Could I do the same for her? Would I want someone to end my life if I were in her position?
Walk or do something, you're drawing looks.
Leandra hissed. I blinked and registered what I was doing. I was standing in front of a topiary piece of art, staring dumbly into space. I sighed.
You okay?
Not really. I miss Heracles. I put the word out last night for anyone who finds him to contact me.
I met her gaze, surprised.
Really? Duh, it's my job.
You're such a turd, Leandra.
You're a bigger one.
I bit back my response as someone walked past us.
Thank you, I murmured when they'd gone. I don't think the priest prepared you enough for this, she observed.
Try not at all.
You did kill monsters.
With help from Adonis.
Yeah,
he's got the body and face of a god. Leandra sighed as she gazed in the direction of the Supreme Priest and Sisa Chief. A stirring of jealousy went through me before I reminded myself the man scared me more than the beast.
I wish I hadn't awoken him.
But that wasn't right, because the tiny voice in my head was fiercely in his court. It had to be the instinct of an oracle who brought a creature to life, the connection created by sharing my ribbons with another.
What? He didn't destroy our home?
didn't torture innocent people for information?
Yeah, I said, troubled.
I don't know what to think about that.
I feel like the whole world is on my shoulders. Everyone expects incredible things from me, and I can't even match my shoes and dress, let alone understand who I should trust.
Leandra's sympathetic smile was comforting.
How do we make you better prepared?
Her considerate question caused a stir of confusion after our dealings with one another at school. However, I also innately knew my whole world was different now, and so was everyone in it.
I need to get a handle on my magic.
Do it.
I'm not sure how. You made a typhon disappear. Maybe you're overthinking it.
Maybe that's why Heracles taught you to fight rather than think. She winked.
I flushed. Not everything had changed. Too irked to respond, I looked around and focused on the ribbons.
She had a point. I hadn't thought twice about how to tackle the typhon once I realized Adonis was in danger. And I'd brought the cup and cotton our cell to life without thinking either.
Here, drink some alcohol. It might help.
She handed me 2 glasses of champagne.
Quickly.
I chugged one and ended up coughing at the burn. Leandra took the empty flute glass and handed me another. She handed me 3 more, and I chugged all 5 before I started to feel untethered from the world.
Ugh, no more. I pushed the 6th away.
How do you feel? A little fuzzy.
Good. Go sit in the shade and use your magic.
It's not that easy. The alcohol was working quickly, and my first step wasn't as certain as the 2nd.
It doesn't just come to me.
Yes, it will. Shut up and sit down. She nudged me towards the empty bench under an orange tree that smelled of sweet citrus flowers. I sat. She took up a position behind me while I observed the ribbons. They were brighter with the alcohol. Or perhaps I was just blocking out the rest of the stimuli. When I'd awoken the stuff in our cell, I'd been startled. When I defeated the typhon, I'd been scared. The barrier between my world and my emotions was lowering with the alcohol. I had a sense of euphoria once more, like I experienced in the Oracle's horrible building. I plucked 2 ribbons from the many and focused on them.
Wake up, I said, without knowing what exactly they were connected to.
Doubting it'd work, I shifted to another set of ribbons and ordered them awake. Something tickled the back of my calf, and I stretched down, digging through the layers of silk to reach a grasshopper clinging to me. I flicked it away.
It's not working, I said, disappointed.
It depends on what you did exactly. At Leandra's note of uncertainty, I straightened. One of the topiary creatures had begun to stir. It lifted 1 leg, then the other, and stepped from the dirt onto the path. Murmurs of alarm went up. The 12-foot-tall Pegasus swished a tail made of roses and shook out a mane of tulips. I watched it. It had 3 ribbons, one of which was green. I stood, thrilled and wobbled.
It's beautiful, Leandra breathed. You did that?
Yeah. People began glancing my way, at first in worry. Then a round of applause went up, and they crowded around to watch the bush creature walking slowly through the gardens. The 2nd creature I had awakened soon began to move as well. It was a griffin, and it roared a handful of leaves when it dropped its jaw to speak. The attendees were snapping pictures and marveling over the mobile topiary.
The Oracle entertains us, someone said with a laugh. Magnificent!
The Pegasus began grazing on a plain hedge, much to the delight of those watching. Her Majesty may not approve of you moving her bushes. Lantos's upbeat words were quiet.
Awaken more and give her a scare.
He, trailed by Adonis, was one of the only people not mesmerized by the sight and lingering back with me. I glanced from him to Adonis, then away quickly, not confident about dealing with Adonis during daylight.
Do it,
Leandra whispered her support. I was buzzing, but I focused on a small topiary of a winged sheep near us.
Wake up.
Without knowing what exactly I did to cause it to stir, I saw the green ribbon that floated through the space between us. It settled onto the ribbons, already hanging over the creature, and it began to stir. I woke up two more, and watched with a grin as they joined the others roaming through the gardens.
Fantastic, Lantos said from beneath his mask. Here I thought you could only use your magic when someone you cared about was in trouble.
My jaw went slack at the words. Adonis was close enough to hear them. Before I could muster a retort from among my cheerfully buzzing thoughts, he moved away to join the others. Adonis remained beside me. I risked another look at him. Meaning to glance quickly, I found myself stuck, staring at his perfect features.
You will need more than an army of bushes, he said,
for whatever the Silent Queen said to you that made you so tense.
He felt it.
Like he always knew where I was. I dropped my gaze and waved Leandra back. I want to hate you, Adonis, I said, frustrated. Everyone I've ever met considers you a butcher.
Most people fear the beast more than the man. But you are different.